Hello. Welcome to See What Show. I'm Mr. Brown.
And I'm Ling.
And this is the movie, TV and DVD review podcast for regular people.
Indeed.
Today we review Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Sorry.
Every time you hear that, like, you laugh, right? It's wrong, right?
Yes.
What are you reviewing?
Oh, I'm reviewing the Darjeeling Limited. Sorry.
Yeah, it's not about tea.
No, not at all about tea.
And Penelope.
Indeed.
A family movie. But first, let's see what's showing this week.
Actually, I was going to say that we haven't reviewed a TV series in some time.
Yeah, we should do that soon.
When?
Next week.
You say what?
Find a TV series. You owe me what is that? Boston Legal.
Yeah, it's like so last year already.
Right? Okay, what's showing this week?
Okay, Cassandra's Dream, directed by Woody Allen. Are you asking whether or not what's her name? Big Boobs, Pretty Girl.
Scarlett Johansson
is in it. No, sorry, she's not in it. Instead, in her place, we have two heavyweights, Ewan McGregor and Colin Farrell.
I'd rather have Scarlett Johansson.
I know, exactly. Why do you think I said Big Boobs, Pretty, who's she?
What's it about again?
Apparently, it's about these two brothers, played by Ewan McGregor and Colin Farrell. They're having some financial problems, and somebody gives them a bright idea to turn to some crime.
And
of course,
gets in the way of their relationship.
Yes,
it goes wrong.
It goes awry.
Awry. Oh, I've heard that word in a long time. Today we learn a new word: awry.
Otherwise known as Ori.
Ori. The thing, go Ori already. Like, how?
Don't know. Check dictionary.
Also showing in the cinemas, Flood.
F-L-O-O-D.
Flood. Recommended by Phoenix, one of our listeners. Hi, Phoenix.
Hi.
Thanks for recommending Flood. He says it's more realistic disaster movie than some of the Hollywoodized, disaster movies that he's seen. So he said enjoyed it very much. Highly recommended by Phoenix.
Okay.
Blood. Also showing soon, or this week, sneaks maybe out already, The Forbidden Kingdom. With
Jackie Chan and Jet Li, right?
Yeah, wow. What a combo, right?
Yeah. I'm expecting to see like a lot of
I haven't seen the two of them together before.
Yeah.
No, actually it's quite a first time.
Yeah, never.
Just to let you know, the Chinese name is Kung Fu Zhi Wang, which is another tragic name. I mean, how lame is that, right?
King of Kung Fus.
Yeah. And another thing that you may not know is that The Forbidden Kingdom is not a Chinese movie. Yeah. Everybody speaks English.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the American Hollywood version of a Chinese Kung Fu drama.
But Jackie Chan's Ingrid can or not?
I think cannot. But from the trailers I've seen and bits and pieces I've seen, everyone speaks English. Oh. It's a bit disconcerting. And according to friends who've seen the fight scenes, it seems rather dated. Mm. What I mean is the kung fu styles displayed there are the flowing, soft, sort of choreographed kung fu stuff you saw in the past.
Oh.
Whereas the trend now in Hong Kong is the Donnie Yen school of martial arts, the fast moving fists, you know, just whack as hard as you can, as fast as you can. That's the current trend. So Hollywood a little bit behind.
But it's not, unless it's a deliberate sort of...
Nah, I don't think they caught on to the current kung fu trend yet.
No, that Jackie Chan and Jet Li and...
They can't do this kind of
Hollywood.
No, they can't do this kind of fighting anyway. I mean, Jackie Chan's fighting style is not like that.
Oh, that's true.
It's
that's
the comedic true. Stuff, you yeah. know. And Jet Li one is, yes, it's kung fu, but it's not Donnie Yen style. There's a Thai movie, Tom Yam Gom, I think.
Gung, is it? G-O-N.
Yeah. Tom Yam Gung. It's the one that's kind of like sparked off the craze with that kind of fast-paced kung fu styles. And this movie doesn't seem to have it. Like, it's a different kind.
Okay, well.
And everyone speaks Amoa. But if it does a David Carradine, I'm going to kill them all. The cricket is stronger than the elephant, little one. Go kill yourself.
So how, are you going to watch it or not?
I think I will, just to see how they screw up having two heavyweights in the movie.
Okay. Forbidden Kingdom, Flood, and Cassandra's Dream, in case you want to go and watch something in the cinema.
Yeah, let's jump to review time.
See what show? Review time.
Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, is the first review we're doing. I don't know when it's going to come to Singapore.
Never.
But the DVD's out. Work Hard is a parody of just about all the biopics, music biopics you've ever watched. Mm-hmm. And just like Walk the Line, which is about Johnny Cash, and Ray, which is about Ray Charles. It is written by John Apatow, who wrote Knocked Up and Superbad. So you get a sense of the guy who wrote it.
Mr. Cox? Mr. Cox? Guys, I need Cox. Mr. Cox.
Give him a minute, son. Dewey Cox needs to think about his entire life before he plays.
Today's gonna be the best day ever.
Yeah, yeah. Ain't nothing horrible gonna happen today. Let's go play machete fight.
The wrong kid died.
Ain't no 6-year-old boy understand the true meaning of the blues.
I reckon I might.
In the next 15 seconds when you sing, you're gonna have to sing from your heart, and it's gonna be personal. The only way you're gonna do that is to sing something that's so new, so heartfelt that it changes the whole course of American music in one deft stroke. And the whole world stands up in confederacy to notice.
John Reilly, John C. Reilly, is Dewey Cox. And John C. Reilly is Will Ferrell's partner in Talladega Nights. He's always pairing with Will Ferrell in his comedies. This time he's the leading character. Mm-hmm. And he's a musical prodigy who ends up sort of representing every legend that you have ever seen in music, rock and roll history, from 50s all the way to the 90s. Mm. In one decade, he's Elvis. He's an Elvis-like character. In another, he's Jim Morrison. And then another one, he's like a Bob Dylan mm-hmm. wannabe. And it's not that he is them. He evolves his musical style to suit the decade, just like Madonna reinvents herself all the time.
Yes.
But actually, it's just a parody, the different musical styles and stars of that era.
Okay.
He goes through the same cliched life of the musical legends, you know, with a father who doesn't understand him, you know, a brother that he killed by accident that haunts him, you know. Religious opposition, church that doesn't accept his devil music, marrying too young at 12, his wife was 12 and he married her at 14.
No way!
He plays the 14-year-old, so you can imagine how silly it gets. Lots and lots of sex. He apparently put his thing in more than 400 women and fathered 21 children, and that's a bit over the top.
Yeah.
And he gets addicted to every drug known to man.
I know that one.
Yeah. It's sad. So Jenna Fischer is his leading lady from The Office, you know, the US version. She plays Darlene, which is a parody version actually of Johnny Cash's wife, June Carter Cash.
What about my dreams?
Edith, I told you I can't build your candy house. It will fall down. The sun will melt the candy. It won't work.
It will if it never rains.
Now you listen to me. I'm going to make this dream come true. Nobody ever said it's going to be easy. It's hard. It ain't easy to walk to the top of a mountain. It's a long, hard walk. It's a rocky road. But I plan on walking. Oh, I'm going to walk. Hard. Walk. Hard.
She has brilliant moments as this good, holy Christian girl who actually desperately wants Dewey Cox to bait her. So there's this sexual,
is there
sexual
like some
tension.
Contradiction.
Yeah, very, very, very funny. The parody is not like the scary movie kind of silliness. It has slapstick moments, but actually it is obviously done by somebody who knows and loves music history.
Mm.
So there is something weightier behind it, but yet it is a very funny movie in itself. They're hilarious cameos. Jack Black and Justin Long, they show up as the Beatles.
Huh? Yeah. Jack Black?
Yeah,
a fat Beatle?
Yeah, it's very funny. Okay. And what makes it really work is that all the songs are hilarious and well-written and done in the style of, you know, the songs they're parodying, like Walk Hard is one of the ones I like, which is a country song. walk on, you know, like the whole Johnny Cash style. And that's, of course, making fun of Walk the Line. And another one was Let's Duet. Let's Do It. Get it? Get it?
Okay.
Let's Duet is sung by John Reilly and the performed by Jenna Fisher, but she doesn't sing her song.
Oh, you know, okay.
There's a voice double.
Right.
It has probably the most sexual double entendres in one song I've ever heard. Yeah, it's very funny. It's the highlight of the movie for me.
Okay.
If you enjoy music biopics and you know your rock legends, you will enjoy this even more. But if you don't, it's fine. You'll still find it funny. I would recommend watching Ray and Walk the Line, stuff like that, The Doors.
Watch it first.
Yeah, watch those first if you can. Then you understand what they're parodying as well. Right. That'll be fun. But you can watch it directly. The movie not only entertains and pokes fun at the cliches of rock star lives and rock star histories and their musical styles. The movie is also a kind of musical history trip. So you learn something about, you know, rock and roll history by watching it, actually.
So it's good for fans and non-fans.
Yeah, it is, it is. Just remember, though, the movie's not for kids.
Okay.
There's full frontal male nudity.
Oh,
which I'm not sure will make it to the Singapore cinemas. But, you know, generally the humour and you know, the visuals, very raunchy. Yeah, of course, what? It's a rock and roll epic. Right? Mm. You've got rock and roll stars. How can you not have, you know, bare-breasted women running around while they do drugs, right? So that's Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Anyway, rock and roll stars always have very hairy chests, right?
Yeah, he is not.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. At the beginning of the movie, he starts the movie before a concert he's supposed to do. And then he's leaning against the wall at the backstage while the crowd is cheering for him to come out. And then his musician colleague tells the producer he has to recall his entire life before he performs. So don't disturb him. Then he's like leaning. Then it flashes back and that's how it starts. Then in the middle of the movie, the fella wants to interrupt him. Then the friend said, stop. He's only at the 80s.
Okay, that's quite funny. So that's kind of used as a frame for
His back flashbacks.
Yeah,
that was quite funny.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that is a good movie. You watched something different.
That's right. Actually really quite different. This one takes place on a train, at least at the beginning. The Darjeeling Limited. You watched it as well, right?
Yeah, I thought it was about tea, actually.
Well, now you know. It's not Earl Grey, but Darjeeling. This is a curious film about three, you could say, eccentric brothers taking a trip together after not seeing each other for, I think, it was like a whole year. The last time they met each other was when their father passed away. And basically, they booked themselves on a train, which is traveling through spiritual India, supposedly for them to reforge their family bonds and to relive better days when their family lived together. Owen Wilson, who plays the oldest brother, Francis, he has a control issue. He actually starts off with bandages and all that over his face, right? Because, well, lack of control there. So he feels this need to take charge, but he's really not good at doing that, right?
Mm.
He's also the oldest. So imagine, you can get an idea of, you know, what kind of tension there is. One older brother with two younger brothers in a small cabin on a train. Okay? Tension. Second brother, Adrian Brody, is Peter. He starts the film trying to catch a train. He's actually running behind, behind Bill Murray, who has a cameo as a businessman. And then he catches up and then he runs and he makes it up on the train. Of course, the train is really turns out to be a metaphor for him missing the boat on many big issues in his life. And the youngest, played by Jason Schwartzman, yeah, needs a strong female figure in his life. And that is revealed when you see how he relates to his absent mother, his ex-girlfriend, or even an Indian stewardess he meets on the Darjeeling Limited.
Yeah, she's hot.
She is, isn't she?
Yeah, she was hot.
I love her glasses.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay, so basically that's kind of, you know, a gist of the three central characters.
I think we have a chance to make this kind of a life-changing experience, and I think we need it.
I want us to become brothers again like we used to be.
You're the two most important people in the world to me.
This is incredible!
Why haven't we spoken in a year?
Because we don't trust each other.
Is that my belt? Can I borrow it? I want us to be completely open and say yes to everything, even if it's shocking and painful.
You have any questions?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
What happened to your face?
One internet site came out with the term serial comedic to describe this film. Serial, as in serious.
Oh, okay.
And comedic, right?
Okay.
And I really agree with this term, okay? And I'm really going to borrow this term to describe the performances of the three characters. Because, you know, some of it is quite cheesy, like the way that they kind of perform Indian rituals, which you wonder if the characters even understand, you know? And why are they doing this? Because they think this will get them closer to each other. This will help them sort through their issues. You don't know. And with people like Owen Wilson, you know, he's kind of known for all his kind of cheesy, laugh-a-minute type comedy that you are not sure whether or not he's seriously trying to be an older brother or whether or not he's kind of just hamming it up. So it kind of just hangs in this half-funny, half-tragic emotional zone. Yeah, so I think that's probably the best way to describe the style of this movie. Okay, even though it's meant to be an emotional comedy about the three brothers reforging their family bonds, I think it would not have been such a good experience if not for the deadpan faces of the actors. So
yeah.
I give it to them as well.
Yeah.
Jason Schwartzman actually is one of the co-writers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a little bit. But anyway, I get the sense that these three guys obviously had a lot of fun filming. You get the sense that they're taking the Mickey out of the situations and, you know, through the games that they play, the silly rituals that they do or don't do or get it wrong or get the instructions wrong. So basically, the plot development is quite offbeat, just like the characters. And I was going to talk about the writers, right? Jason Schwartzman is one of them. Roman Coppola from the famous Coppola family, Francis Ford Coppola's son.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and Wes Anderson, whose famous work was The Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, if you don't like The Royal Tenenbaums,
then
you wouldn't like
maybe
this.
You might not like this.
This stuff is like quirky.
Yes.
Offbeat.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
Very weird, yeah. But you see, the Royal Tenenbaums actually, sorry, I'm going to bitch here, but I think it kind of masks the inability to act for people like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
Sorry, but all I remember is that she was quite good in it.
Yeah, she just looked like, deadpan. And
exactly, with a lot of eyeliner.
Eyeliner, yeah. Mm. Yeah. So that's a Wes Anderson film, basically.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I actually found my interest sustained because I just didn't know what to expect next.
Yeah.
So it's offbeat and it's quirky in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I also think that when you pare the story down and you kind of economize with the composition of some of his shots, and then you obviously vary the timing and the pace, right, by slowing down some of the shots, actually, the words are not always necessary to convey the emotions that you want to. And for that, I would say the DOP, the director of photography, and the editor probably did a very good job.
Yeah.
I don't know them, but well, for people who do, Robert Yeoman is the DOP, and Andrew Weisbloom is the editor.
It's beautifully shot,
very,
I have to say.
Yeah, the colors are wonderful.
Yeah. But I thought it tried a little bit too hard with the whole symbolism thing sometimes.
Sometimes.
But yes, we know they're leaving their baggage behind. Yeah. So I don't know. That kind of threw me off a little bit. But generally, the movie was entertaining.
Yes.
And not inaccessible.
Correct.
Movie for, you know, a mainstream audience.
Yep. Yeah. I think the symbolism, I could accept it because because like as I said, the way that they treated it was like they were like half serious.
Yeah.
If they took it very seriously, then it would be very off-putting.
Pretentious, yeah. It's like a more version of what India should be, kind of thing.
Indeed, as if you know that Visa commercial, you know.
Ah. Oh yes, the birds.
Yes, the birds.
Okay. So that's the Darjeeling Limited. Not about tea, but about the train.
Yes, tea, train. But they did drink tea on the train.
Yes, they do. A lot.
Yes.
Good stuff too.
Penelope.
Family movie now. Penelope. This one I think hasn't come here yet. It's opened in the UK 2 years ago. And it's just made it to the States last month. Yeah.
Mm.
So Penelope is set in London, and it's a family story. It's a fairy tale. It's about a girl who looks like a pig with a big snout because of a curse put on her family line by a witch. Her rich parents spend a lot of money and time looking for a blue-blooded suitor for her because apparently the curse can only be broken if one of her own kind loves her faithfully.
Oh.
Yes. And each time they bring some blue-blooded eligible bachelor to see her, they are screening them, of course. And everyone wants to do it, like, because this family is very rich. Mm. So if you're looking to be married into money and you are blue blood yourself, you know, you're willing to go through this sort of blind date thing. Mm. They see her for the first time and they would run out of the window screaming in horror.
Oh, no.
To the extent they have to put kind of safety glass so that they won't break the glass each time. So they are not allowed to tell anyone because they have to sign a gag order in order to be selected. So it's an NDA, basically, non-disclosure agreement.
My gosh.
Yes, yes. So it's a family secret.
I knew it. He's the one.
He just might be. Hello.
My name is Penelope, and I was cursed to be born with the nose of a pig. Doctors said they couldn't fix it.
I'm sorry. The snout stays.
My mother protected me from the outside world. But to break the curse, I just had to find someone to accept me as I am till death do us part.
Hello, I'm Penelope, and you must be...
I was ready to give up.
Gotcha!
Then he walked in.
Go!
No, I...
Oh, go!
Hello?
Penelope, I know you're in there.
How about you and me heading down to the Cloverdale pub right now?
Penelope, come on. What are you waiting for?
Penelope Wilhern is played by Christina Ricci.
Mm.
Such nice, such sweetness and intelligence. As a little girl who has never seen the world out there, and grows up surrounded by plants and books, she grows up a very sweet natured and very well informed about books, but very little about what's outside.
Mm.
Yeah, she's not allowed to see the outside world. Her parents, the Wilhurns, are loving but somewhat misguided in their obsession to end her curse and her shame. Partly out of love for her and partly out of a need to save face. You know, they come from a rich aristocratic family.
Right.
So they're trying to save face. That's why they hide her as well.
Mm.
Yeah. James McAvoy is Max, a down-and-out gambling addict who gets selected to court her and, due to a twist of fate, doesn't run away screaming. And they end up chatting a little bit more while she hides behind her two-way mirror and him out in the hall. And meanwhile, the villains are hounded by Lemon, this character called Lemon, who is a midget reporter who is determined to find out the secret that the family is trying to hide.
Mm.
Yeah, and Lemon actually engages Max to infiltrate the family and record video or photographic evidence of their secret.
Oh, like that?
Yeah. But generally, the movie is sweet. And it's a very nice, cool message about learning to accept yourself, learning to love yourself for who you are.
All my life, I've been rejected. Do you have any idea how that makes me feel?
No, come back. No.
Now.
Penelope!
One girl will break away.
She's out there on her own, declaring her independence.
So what, are you hiding from the law, or is that just a bad nose job or something?
Mm-hmm, bad nose job.
Experience a life she's never known.
Can I have a beer on tap, please?
You're supposed to catch it.
You don't get out much, do you? We should talk.
And inspire the world to see her.
Is there anything you like to say to the public?
Hi.
For who she is.
I like myself the way I am.
Christina Ricci.
The public loves this girl.
Bring her a treat!
G James McAvoy.
You know, you inspired me. Doing what you did, going off on your own like that.
Catherine O'Hara.
Things are different now, Mother, because I have friends.
And Academy Award winner Reese Witherspoon.
What's a Vespa? You ever ridden on a Vespa?
Penelope.
With such a large nose, do you smell better than the rest of us?
Don't you tell me.
The look of the movie is intensely colourful, almost Tim Burton-esque, you know, but not dark. You know, Tim Burton stuff's very dark.
Yep.
This is a colourful version. It plays up the whole fairy tale feeling of the story. I thought Reese Witherspoon, who shows up in the middle of the movie, really weirdly, as Penelope's streetwise friend, I felt she was miscast in like a lot of place. But apparently the movie was made by her, you know, Reese Witherspoon's movie company. So maybe they thought they had to put it in.
Huh? Just because... I see. Yeah, owns this company.
Yeah, that made it. I think so, yeah.
I see.
But it was kind of weird, like, her moment. Halfway in the movie, she shows up as a friend. A bit weird. The movie is good for kids and adults to enjoy. Nothing laugh out loud, really.
But sweet, like,
yeah, a lot of smiles. You know, you tend to smile a lot throughout the movie.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and James McAvoy is the it kid at the moment.
Yes, isn't he?
Yes, yes. What did he win for? Atonement. Was he in Atonement?
He was in Atonement.
Yes.
Don't think he won, right?
He didn't win, but he's an it kid at the moment. Yeah, so this was a relatively quiet movie. I think in the States just opened only. But it's been in the UK for a while. Special effects were quite cute, like the makeup. But it's a sweet story. Yeah, go catch it when it comes. Penelope.
Yep.
This is See What Show, and I'm Ms. Brown.
And I'm Ling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A production of SeeWhatShow.com.